Morning, everybody. My name is Leah. Welcome to church this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can all be here and that you brought everybody here safely. Thank you that we get to worship freely. I pray that you will please bless the service and please bless this Sunday as we worship you. And yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.
Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but
You may be seated.
Good morning, New Life Church. My name is Jake Kostelik, and I am your host today. What a great day to be here together. Amazing worship. It's great to see you all, and what a beautiful day outside to do that. So, a couple announcements today. If you are a little light, that means your age is 3 to 5, you'll be continuing in worship downstairs. So, Little Lights is going on. Kids Church starts next Sunday, September 10th. So, Little Lights, if you're 3, 4, or 5 years old, you're going to Little Lights, and you're the leaders, please come down. I want to pray a blessing over you before we send you off. There's got to be some of you here. Come on down. Apparently that's where all the 3 to 5-year-olds hang out in this church. Oh, lots of you. Okay, kids, I'm going to pray a blessing over you, and then we're going to head out of this door. Yes, that's right. Congregation, feel free if you choose to extend a hand of blessing towards these children. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for these incredible children. You know them, you love them, you know the plans for them that you have, and Lord, we just thank you for each gift that is each one of these children. I pray, Lord, that as they head downstairs to where they're going to be taught to learn more about you and your love, Lord, that they will be feel loved, that they will feel your presence, that you will make yourself known, and that you will do your work in this time. Lord, we pray a blessing over each and every one of them. Amen. Okay, kids, we can head out this way. So we are glad you're here today. If you are a guest with us, that is awesome. We're thrilled you're here. If you are sitting in a seat here in the church, you can see in front of you there's going to be connect cards. If you would like to let us know that you're here and visiting and maybe get in contact with us, we want to know you. We want to meet you. We can reach out and help you. 2 more stragglers. We want to connect with you, and we want you to feel welcome here at New Life. So if you want to fill those out, bring them here. There's a Connect card. You know what? Who are we to tell them where to go, right? The freedom these kids have. It's amazing. So fill out the Connect cards if you're a visitor. Drop them in here. Bring them to the foyer in the back, and you'll get a New Life gift pack, and that includes a tumbler, I think, and some fair trade coffee. It's written down here somewhere. That's correct. I guessed right. If you're online this morning, drop a comment. There's hosts that will be able to connect with you there. Let us know who you are, maybe where you're from, where you are right now, and we'd love to connect with you if you're watching online as well. So a couple announcements here. New Life Block Party, or Delaire Road Block Party, is next Sunday. So, yeah, there's going to be a big party that takes up actually a good chunk of this block. So a few instructions to remember for when you arrive. We'll be blocking off the west entrance of our parking lot for games and activities. So please enter on the east entrance and park in the back parking lot. Or Ministry of Agriculture is beside us there. So by there, there's no windows here. It's hard to tell where we are. So there's a diagram, which I know. There we go. Limited mobility parking. So, if you're going to park on the east side, that's over there. No parking in the front or sides. So, Eberhardt's, not allowed to park in your spot next week. The Flutes, you can stay where you are. I'm going to be parking in the Ministry of Agriculture. Bravos, you're not allowed to park in your spot. You're going to go to the Ministry of Agriculture next week. So, but the people on the right-hand side, Grandma, you can park in your spot. You're fine next week. So all of us on the west side, Ministry of Agriculture over there next week. Clear as mud? Good. Okay. There also will be parking lot attendants, so if my very confusing explanation didn't help, there's actual knowledgeable people here next week going to be helping with the implementation. So junior ministry leaders, if you're a youth age 12 plus that would like to volunteer downstairs on Sunday mornings, we would love that. I know there's been actually quite a few of you doing that, and that's wonderful. So we're looking for youth that either currently serve downstairs or would like to get involved in serving in the children's ministry downstairs. This is a bit of a mentorship role, and there's different areas depending on your gifts and passions that you can help with. There's going to be a training session held Sunday, September 24, so in 3 weeks, after the service in the kids' church room up downstairs. So if you're interested, please contact Marg Kostelik or email the office. So 12-year-olds, Marg Kostelik is my wife. So if you could just tell her that, like, Jake said I should go help you, that would be good for you and the ministry, also good for me. It would look like I'm rallying up all these kids. So if you're 12 years old, you say, hey, your husband Jake said I should be helping downstairs. I'd really appreciate that. Offering. Today, we are taking an offering for New Life Ministries. So New Life Ministries, if you are a visitor here, what that means is a fancy term for the work we do here at this church. So it is the building, it is the staff, it's the money needed to keep the services and the ministries and everything operating here year after year. So I know that it's New Life Ministries sounds like it. Where is it going to? What is it? It's the money that's needed to keep this church and the staff and the building and all of our ministries operational here. So many of our ministries are starting up. So after a summer of holidays and vacations and relaxing, there's a lot of been in the behind the scenes, a lot of ramping up by the team at New Life to get ready for a ministry year launch. So at New Life Church and a lot of churches around here, we launch a lot of our big, you know, school year ministry things in September. So we're really excited about that and what God has in store for New Life this coming year. So you can give your offering electronically in the ways listed on the screen. There we go. Or you can bring your offering to the front during the fellowship time. So I'm going to pray now for New Life offering. Lord, we thank you for New Life Church. Lord, we are a big community of people working together, pulling together, in spite of our flaws and our deficiencies, to serve you, to honor you, and to do your work on this earth and in this community, Lord. I pray for this ministry offering today, that you will use it for your purposes, that you will multiply, and that this will be able to reach people, that this will be able enable New Life Church to be able to be your hands and feet here in this community, Lord. And we pray that you will just be glorified through our gifts and our offerings. You can do anything, Lord, and we just are so grateful for the opportunity and the privilege to be here at this church today and able to give our offerings today. Pray this in your name. Amen. So we have a fellowship time, 3-minute fellowship time. So during this time, meet someone new. Feel free to. You can give your offering during this time, as I've outlined. Kids Church, there's activity packets from the treasure box on my right, which is there. You can pick up the activity books and do some journaling during the service. And if you need an icebreaker question, you can ask your neighbor, when you come to church, do you always park in the same spot? And be honest, be honest. Anyways, good morning, New Life, and let's kick off the 3-minute fellowship time.
Is it time now? Morning. Matter of booking a place in heaven, or does our salvation in Christ cause us to do more than just uttering a sinner's prayer? So this week, I've been aptly given this passage from the book of James to preach on. The Apostle James boldly proclaim that faith without works is dead? Was the Apostle James contradicting what the Apostle Paul had fervently been teaching, that we are saved by the grace of God through faith and not any of our doing? Brothers and sisters, as we study the Bible closely, we will surely see that both the apostles did not contradict each other, but in fact wanted us to have a better and clearer understanding of what salvation and what the Christian faith is all about. Let us first unpack this passage in James chapter 2, understand where James was coming from, and thereafter we will examine what salvation in Christ and the Christian faith is all about. Here are my divisions. Verses 14 to 16, food and clothing aids are practical ways of showing Christian love and faith. Verses 18 to 25, Father Abraham. I had to put the word father in front just to follow the whole way of my division, isn't it? Huh? Father Abraham and Rahab put their faith into actions. And verse 17 and 26, faith in God can only be authentic when it's followed by deeds or works. Let's go on to the first division. Faith and clothing aids are practical ways of showing Christian love and faith. Exertion of doctrine. Let me begin with this quote from David Nystrom. He says, a faith that consists of mere assent to doctrine, or perhaps even the simple utterance of a doctrinal statement, is no faith at all. In other words, if our life and our lifestyle do not reflect our faith belief, it is no faith at all. Faith without actions or deeds is just like a tree that bears no fruit. I can't tell my wife repeatedly every day how much I love her, but do nothing about it through my actions. I see some ladies nodding profusely, agreeing. So here in this passage, the Apostle James put it plainly, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warm, be filled without giving them the things that they needed for the body, what good is that? Our faith is not just the utterance of a doctrinal statement or just simply saying the sinner's prayer, and that's it. Active deeds and not just mere words. Verse 15 to 16. The gift of salvation is the best gift anyone can ever receive from our Lord Jesus Christ. Such great love, such great mercy, such great grace cannot be kept within ourselves. We want to share them to those who have yet to receive them, experience them. And we do so through practical ways like what Apostle James was advocating, suggesting that we give clothes and we give food to those who needed them. Last Sunday, Sister Janet and her team shared with us about their experience at Esperanza, and how they were blessed, even though they were there giving and helping and doing things for the community there. God used little things like that to even bless those who came to give. And for this same reason, New Life Church has adopted several projects over the years, such as Joshua House, Honduras, Ethiopia, Colombia, and perhaps others as well. We show our faith through practical actions. The second division, Father Abraham and Rahab put their faith into actions, verses 18 to 25. Dead faith versus true faith, verse 18 to 20. The Apostle James put it bluntly that even the devil believes in God. So faith without works is no faith at all, because that faith is dead. Verses 21 to 25, demonstration of faith in action. Now, James then went on to amplify how faith can be translated into actions by giving us two examples. First, it was Abraham. In Abraham's case, he willingly put out his son's Isaac's life on the line by offering him an altar. Rahab, on her part, placed her own life on the line when she hid the scouts from Israel and later on sent them away in a different direction. That is faith in action. Let's go to our third division. Looks like I'm pretty fast today, right? I'm already in the final division, but no, there's a lot more behind. Just wait and see, all right? The third division, faith in God can only be authentic when it's followed by these, verse 17 and verse 26. Again, I like to quote David Nystrom in his commentary. He says that basically trying to express that these are natural expressions of results of true, authentic faith in Christ. He said this, obedience both precedes faith and is a consequence of faith. Obedience precedes faith. It is also the consequence of faith. So let me just unpack this. Here he's saying, we come to faith because of obedience to God. We come to know Jesus because of obedience to God. Yes, it is through the grace of God. It is by faith that we can be saved. But that can only take place when we obey God and are prompted by the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, the passage where Jesus was with his disciples, Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter says, you are the Lord. You are the Lord God. You know, he called him Master. And Jesus said, you profess because the Holy Spirit caused you to do so. So we obey to come to faith. But as we come to faith, the results of that, the consequence of it, the outcome of it is through our obedience to God's word and God's teaching, and that is through actions. In other words, obedience results in faith. And faith leads to obedience. Our obedience results in our faith in Jesus Christ. And our faith naturally, authentic, true faith will lead us to obedience, which means actions and deeds that the Bible has taught us to do. But why? Why this age-long debate over faith and works? Perhaps it is because we don't fully understand what the salvation in Christ Jesus is all about. How do we see salvation? I'd like to suggest to you that we see salvation as we look at Scripture as a threefold experience. First, it is an accomplished fact. We have been saved. And then second one is attaining work in progress. We are being saved. And thirdly, arriving in eternal destiny. Or destination, whichever you want to call it, we will be saved. Let me elaborate on each of these 3 points. Accomplished fact. We have been saved. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the full price for the redemption of our sins. The sins of the past, the present, and future. For those of us who are already believers, we have been saved by the act that Jesus did when he died on the cross. Likewise, for those who are now living in present time, who comes to faith, they have been saved by the very same act that Jesus did. And for those in the future who will come to Christ, they have been saved also by what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. We have been saved. Salvation in Christ is an accomplished fact when Christ died on the cross. This is a done deal. Nothing you did, nothing you need to do except to claim that gift. This is what we call the grace of God. Grace of God is something that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, and no one in this entire universe, whether it's past, whether it's present, whether it's future, is deserving of this grace. There is nothing for us to work in order to attain this gift and this grace of salvation. But this is not a cheap grace. It is not cheap because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, paid for us, paid with his life, dying the most humiliating and painful death on the cross. It is free because we can't afford it. Have you ever thought about that? That this grace is given to us for free because none of us can ever pay for it. It is that simple. And then the next phase of our salvation is the attaining work in progress. We are being saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18, and this is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And then Paul wrote to the church in Philippi in chapter 2, verse 12. He said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have already obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So you see, when we first make the decision to follow Christ, we have been saved. But the Christian journey has just begun at the point of decision. Though we are a new creation, like Paul described, a new creation in Christ, we still have the same sinful nature in us, the tendency to commit sin and wrongdoing. This is the reason the Bible is full of teachings how trying to prune us, trying to discipline us, trying to teach us to be more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. We are being saved means that even though we are already believers, God is not done with us yet. The Holy Spirit is constantly working in our lives, through our lives, so that we can be more like Jesus. And this is the reason why we read the Bible every day, we pray, we have Bible studies, we come to church like this in the Sunday morning or in the community of a body of believers, fellowshipping one another. God is using all these channels to make us disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is in this sense that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth that we are being saved. The Christian journey that makes us become more and more like Jesus. And urging believers in Philippi to work out their salvation. Yes, even though we already received the gift of salvation, yet we are still being saved because our life still needs transformation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, they talk about then we can discern what is the will of God, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. The Christian journey is as long as we are alive, and we are always work in progress. A Christian, we are always a work in progress. Our lives and bodies are work in progress so long we're still on earth, and that work is only finished when we leave this world at our deathbed. Our deeds, our works are fruits of our obedience to God's words and teachings. As we learn more and more of God, we yield more and more fruits when we obey God's teachings in the Bible. The deeds and works that believers are to manifest has nothing to do with the gift of salvation. Rather, they are the fruits of obedience to God, following His teachings through His word and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the third point, arriving the eternal destiny, we will be saved. Romans 13:11, beside this, you know the time and the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer, talking about the future time, to us than we first believe. And then in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So at the moment, at the point of decision, we have been saved. That begins our Christian journey. We have been saved. And the third and last part is that we will be saved. This refers to the final destination of our Christian experience. And that will be to be with God in the heavenly realm on the day of Christ. And not only you and me, we will be also rejoicing with fellow believers who remain faithful to the very end. When we have a clear understanding of what this whole salvation experience is all about, there will be no confusion. And certainly no need to argue whether there's works or faith that leads to our salvation. So long as we do not get the order wrong, it is our obedience that leads us to faith in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith would naturally express itself through good deeds in our lives. Let me conclude with this quote from our German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This is what he says. Only he who believes is obedient. And only he who is obedient believes. Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. We do not have to do good works to attain our salvation. And that's simply because no amount of good works can earn us our salvation. Rather, if our faith in Christ Jesus is authentic, then good works and deeds will be the natural expression and manifestation of our faith belief. Let us pray. Lord God, we are just so thankful. We are thankful that in Christ we have been saved. And as Christian journey, we are thought to be more and more like Jesus. The process of being saved to the day where we shall be with you, as we will be saved in eternal glory. So Father, we pray, O Father, that you continue to lead us in this journey of faith, in this journey where we can dig into your word each day, in our prayer, our devotion, our fellowship, our Bible study with fellow believers, have a closer walk with you. Help us to remain faithful to you and to your teaching of your word. May all glory and honor be given unto you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Would you stand in response with us? Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
other name. Jesus, the only one who can ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Remain standing as we receive the Lord's benediction. May we go from here, not just be hearers of God's word, but doers as well. May our life manifest fruits of the Holy Spirit, that good works and deeds come naturally as a result of our faith belief. And now, may the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace, mercy, joy of the Holy Spirit, and may the love of the Heavenly Father, the encouragement and anointing of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us, our loved ones, now and until His glorious return. Amen.